वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो नंबर 6 चैप्टर 4 एंटाइटल द हंस गुह्या प्रेयर्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। यच्छक्तयो वदतां वाडिनां वादिनां वै विवाद संवाद भाव भुवो भवन्ति कुर्वन्ति चैषां मुहुर् आत्ममोहं तस्मै नमो नन्त गुणाय भूमने। यच्छक्तयो वदतां वादिनां वै विवाद संवाद भुवो भवन्ति कुर्वन्ति चैषां मुहुरात्ममोहम् तस्मै नमो नन्त गुणाय भूमने। यच्छक्तयो वदतां वादिनां वै विवाद संवाद भुवो भवन्ति कुर्वन्ति चैषां मुहुरात्ममोहम् तस्मै नमो नन्त गुणाय भूमने। यच्छक्तयो वदतां वादिनां वै विवाद संवाद भुवो भवन्ति कुर्वन्ति चैषां मुहुरात्ममोहम् तस्मै नमो नन्त गुणाय भूमने। मोहम् Tasmai namo nantana. Matajis.
Hare Krishna.
Yat Shaktaya. Whose multifarious potencies. Vadatam. Speaking different philosophies. Vadinam. Of the speakers. Vai. Indeed. Vivada. Of argument. Samvada. Of agreement. Bhavaha. The causes. Bhavanti. Are. Kurvanti. Create. Cha. And. Esham. Of them. The theorists. Muhu. Continuously. Atma moham. Bewilderment. Regarding the existence of the soul. Tasmai. Unto him. Namaha. My respectful obeisances. Ananta. Unlimited. Gunaya. Possessing transcendental attributes. Bhumne. The all-pervading Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities, acting from within the cores of the hearts of all philosophers, who propagate various views. He causes them to forget their own souls, while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing among themselves. Thus he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him. Purport. Since the time immemorial, or since the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the conditioned souls have formed various parties of philosophical speculation. But this is not true of the devotees. Non-devotees have different ideas of creation, maintenance and annihilation. Therefore they are called vadis and prativadis, proponents and counter-proponents. It is understood from the statements of Mahabharata that there are many munis or speculators. Tarko pratishta sruyato vibhinna nasa parishriyasya matam nabhinnam. All speculators must disagree with other speculators. Otherwise, why should there be so many opposing parties concerned with ascertaining the supreme cause? Philosophy means finding the ultimate cause. As Vedanta Sutra very reasonably says, Athato Brahma Jikyasa. Human life is meant for understanding the ultimate cause. Devotees accept that as the ultimate cause is Krishna, because this conclusion is supported by all Vedic literatures and also by Krishna himself, who says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. I am the source of everything. Devotees have no problem understanding the ultimate cause of everything, but non-devotees must face many opposing elements, because everyone wants to be a prominent philosopher, inventing his own ways. In India, there are many parties of philosophers such as Dvaitavadis, Advaitavadis, Vaisheshikas, Mimamsakas, Mayavadis and Swabhavavadis, and each of them opposes the others. Similarly, in the Western countries, there are also many philosophers with different views of creation, life, maintenance and annihilation. Thus, it is undoubtedly a fact that there are countless philosophers throughout the world, each of them contradicting with others. Now, one might ask why there are so many philosophers if the ultimate goal of philosophy is one. Undoubtedly, the ultimate cause is one, the Supreme Brahman, as Arjun told Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 10.12. Parabrahma param dhama. Pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam adidevam ajam vibhum. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode, the purifier, the absolute truth, and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. Non-devotee speculators, however, do not accept an ultimate cause, sarva karana karanam, because they are ignorant and bewildered concerning the soul and its activities. Even though some of them have a vague idea of the soul, many controversies arise, and the philosophical speculators can never reach a conclusion. All of these speculators are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, 19 and 20th verses, Tan aham dvishtaha kruran samsareshu naradhaman kshipami ajasram ashubhan asurishva eva yonishu Asurim yoni mapanna mudha janmani mam aprapyaiva kaunteya tatho yanti adamam gatim. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life, attaining repeated birth and amongst the species of demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. Unquote. Because of the envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, non-devotees are born in demoniac families life after life. They are great offenders, and because of their offenses, the Supreme Lord keeps them always bewildered. Kurvanti chaisham mur atma moham. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, purposely keeps them in darkness, atma moham. The great authority Parashara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva, explains the Supreme Personality of Godhead thus. Jnana shakti balaishwarya virya tejasmi asheshataha Bhagavat chapta vachyani vina heyair gunabdihi gunadibihi. The demoniac speculators cannot understand the transcendental qualities, form, pastimes, strength, knowledge and opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are all free from material contamination. Vina heyair gunadibihi. These speculators are envious of the existence of a Lord, Jagadahur Anishwaram. Their conclusion is that the entire cosmic manifestation has no controller, but just working naturally. Thus, they are kept in constant darkness, birth after birth, and cannot understand the real cause of all causes. This is the reason why there are so many schools of philosophical speculation. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
First of all, I am grateful
for having given the opportunity to be amongst you in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So this is the chapter called the Hamsa Guhya Prayers. These are actually, as Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports, they are actually not created by Daksha Prajapati, but they are given in the Vedas, and he is just repeating them. And the historical background of this shlokas is that Daksha was there in Swarochisa Manu's time also, and he was a Prajapati, and he had 11 daughters, and 11th was Sati Devi, who married against his desire to her own paramour, that is Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva was insulted, Parvati Devi got angry, she burnt herself to ashes and gave up her life, and there was a great massacre, and Lord Shiva's associates almost destroyed everybody, and Daksha's head was severed, and then he was given the head of the goat, and then he continued the yajna. And in that yajna, before the yajna, Brahma came and pacified Lord Shiva by prayers of begging for forgiveness, and Lord Shiva somehow forgave everybody, and the yajna began again with proper platform of respect to all the Vaishnavas, especially Lord Shiva. And then Lord Vishnu appeared in that yajna, and Lord Vishnu was praised by each demigod one after another. And in the course of time, Daksha gave up his body, and he took birth again at the time of Chakshusha Manu, which is this time. And he again began his service of creation, and he gave birth to many species of human beings and beasts and animals and birds and reptiles and insects and so forth. But somehow he was not so happy with his own service. He wanted to do it in a more perfect way, more better way. So he went to Vindhya Mountain and he sat for tapasya. So you have to increase the sound of the system. Hare Krishna. So he performed tapasya at the Vindhya Mountain, very strong tapasya. And then he again came down. After that, he offered this Hamsa Guhya prayers and pleased the Lord. And then at the end of that, he received one beautiful lady as his wife to continue his creative services and to satisfy himself. This is the brief background of the verse that we are having today. And this verse, typically, it appeared like Srila Prabhupada should just go on explaining so beautifully. Srimad Bhagavatam is a very transcendental literature, Amalam Puranam. There is no tinge of any Karma Kand or Jnana Kand or Siddhi Kand or anything else. There is no contamination of any other motivation except Shuddha Bhakti, the pure devotional service of the Lord. And in that context, Srimad Bhagavatam also explains varieties of dynasties or families, lineages, through which we finally receive great personalities or the incarnations of the Lord or many empowered personalities that are worthy of discussion and description, their pastimes. So those dynasties are described only to make us understand how they appeared, in which line they appeared, and how those lineages are also glorious because they appeared. For example, Lord Ramchandra appeared in Raghu Vamsha, in Chandra Vamsha. Lord Sri Krishna appeared in Surya Vamsha. And those beautiful descriptions are there, and it is very beautiful. Even today also, when some great personality comes, we study about his lineage, whose son he was, whose grandson he was, which state he was from, where did he study, which is his school and college. Like that, in transcendental realm also there are various beautiful transcendental descriptions about various personalities. So here Daksha came second time and he is offering beautiful prayers. And in this particular verse, the situation about the various speculators is explained. Prabhupada has given very good justice to the various types of philosophers that are there, and there are definitely many, many more also existing in this world. And like Prabhupada says, Svabhavavadis, Mayavadis, Vaisheshikas, Advaitavadis, Dvaitavadis, and even in amongst themselves, Dvaitavadis are at least believers in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Advaitavadis don't even believe that Supreme Personality of Godhead has a form or is a person or not. Mayavadis are the same thing, they feel Mayadish, potency, Shakti is the Supreme and everything else is under her control. And so many Vadis I don't even know, and no need to know also. Shri Gornithai ki jai, Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Bhagavan ki jai. Most important thing we need to know is that India traditionally and historically is the kingdom of all philosophies, and the predominant basis of all the philosophies that exist in India traditionally and anciently is Mayavad, is belief that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not a person, it's all Maya, or it's all void, or it's nobody in control, Anaishwaram, so many things. Even today when you go to South India or you go to North India, far North, far South, everybody believes in merging in the Lord, becoming one with the Lord, or becoming one with the energy of the Lord, becoming one with the effulgence of the Lord, Brahma Jyoti, and there is no Lord, there is only you, and all of you are one, is what exists is only love between two of us, and everything ultimately is you, and there is nothing beyond you, is one of my classmates in medical college keeps writing the messages every day, thinking that he has great philosophical background and great philosophical guidance. He says that ultimately there is the biggest myth and biggest disservice man has done to himself is he had created the concept of God. Biggest illusion and confusion man has created in this world is by creating the concept of God and speculating on that and developing on that and developing stories on that and totally confusing the Lord, confusing the masses who are innocent. There's nothing like God, it's only you who exist, and it's only love between the two, each of us. And there are so many people who are like yesterday, day before yesterday, one of the great acharyas of South Indian tradition from my caste, my birth caste, like you can say he is a Goswami of my caste, he passed away, and he was a great devotee of the Lord, and he also had received Srila Prabhupada's all sets of books. Some of his ardent followers had become the followers of Prabhupada in the course of time, and the followers are writing even today that he was waiting for Uttarayan to come to merge with God. And I know very well that he was not on that mood. But you see, the masses, the influence is so much that you have to merge with God. And this is only because the basic understanding which Prabhupada is explaining, why people go into this kind of understanding of Anaishwaram, no controller in position, only you and me, only Shakti, only Atma, is only because of envy of the Lord. This is the basic understanding which Prabhupada is driving us through to understand that all these variety of isms that come in, they are based on the envy of the Lord, and the envy of the Lord leads them to believe He doesn't exist so that they can live in their own way, the way they want, and then go on enjoying everything around. That is the basic reason why all of us have come down. The material world is fundamentally created only because of the cause that there are people who are envious of him. There are people who don't like him. There are people who don't like to follow his instruction or follow his discipline or follow his abode, the rules and regulations. So basically the envy has caused this whole creation to exist, come into being, the material existence of birth, death and disease and old age. And once this envy goes away, then immediately the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a person reveals himself to us. Srila Prabhupada also explains in previous verses that with senses which are impure, one cannot understand anything that is real. With senses contaminated with material desires, selfish desires, what we only understand that there is world around you enjoyable. We can enjoy this. The world is meant to enjoy. The objects of the world are supposed to be enjoyed by us. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. In the end, when we get frustrated, we think of how to get relieved. Basically, there is a desire to enjoy. And that desire to enjoy has come out from the envy of the Lord. Otherwise, in the purest state, when the senses are in the pure state of service to the Lord, to Lord's senses, only what you feel and realize is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the love that He has for us and how we can increase that love for Him within our heart just by keeping our senses engaged in His service. There's a verse in Nectar of Devotion which explains this, that only with purified senses engaged in the service of the Lord one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So two things are there. One is purification and second is service. There is service in the impure state and there is service in the pure state. But even if we are in impure state but we are sincerely engaged in the process of pure devotional service as ordained by the pure devotees of the Lord, still it is fine. It is not that one has to become first pure devotee and then start engaging in service of Krishna in pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada is so kind that he has explained us how even in the stage of impurity in the beginning, to begin with, still we can be on the path of Shuddha Bhakti under the guidance of a pure devotee. And what is required for that? What is required for that is to be free from the envy of devotees and eventually of the Lord. The envy of the devotees, envy of the Lord that is there, gets forgotten in the course of time and it gets transformed to the devotees of the Lord, to fellow living beings around us. In that stage, we don't even remember that Lord exists. We don't believe that. But whoever believes in Lord, we becomes envious of them. So this is innate in us. For example, I'll tell you, sometimes it becomes very difficult to believe that how we are envious of the Lord or the devotees of the Lord. If our wife goes to serve Sri Gurudev and neglects us and some of our services, we get upset. I'm telling you sincerely, this is actually the envy of the Lord. Then it's the envy of Sri Guru also. As long as my wife serves me very nicely and she takes care of all my needs, then after that she can go and take care of Gurudev and devotees and everybody. But if she takes care of devotees and serves them and Gurudev and at the cost of my services, I get very angry and start arguing. In the name of my being devotee of the Lord, still this exists. And this is the proof that we are envious of the Lord. Another proof which many great souls have explained of the envy of the Lord is that to the degree we are attached to material sense gratification, to that degree we are envious of the Lord. Why? Because sense gratification, that means enjoying the things in the material world, is a domain of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Bhoktaram. Sarva Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He is the master of all the lokas. He is the enjoyer of the fruits of all tapasya. He is supposed to be, we are supposed to be performing tapasya for His pleasure. And He is supposed to enjoy everything that exists, that He has created, including all of us, He is supposed to enjoy. And when we take that position to to certain degree, to large degree, or to all degree. That is the level of envy that we have. We have to actually think very deeply on this point. That this envy is very deep-rooted and very subtle. And sometimes it makes us even not believe that it is existing there. But we have to be humble enough to listen to the upadesh of the pure devotees, sincere devotees, when they tell us. And then when we meditate on those instructions, we understand, yes, it is true. So, how to get rid of this envy? The only way is to pray to the Lord to free ourselves from that envy. There is no tapasya, there is no formula, there is no methodology which will help us actually to get uprooted with this envy. First of all, there should be an understanding, there is knowledge that yes, this exists, this is there in me. Second, there should be a desire to get freed from that envy. In the company of devotees, sincere devotees who are humble, we may get that desire to get free from that envy. And then we get convinced of that I need to get free. We need to be determined to get free from that. And then that will end into a prayer to the Lord. So when we chant Hare Krishna, the whole thing gets churned from within. And this envy and this anger and the lust keeps coming up again and again in the form of turbulence in our spiritual life. It keeps disturbing us, keeps suffocating us, keeps choking us, and keeps showing us what we are, keep making us feel disgusted about it. But nonetheless, we have to keep on the process of chanting continuously, and while it is happening, we have to keep on praying to the Lord regularly, "My Lord, please free me from this envy." Because amongst the six anarthas that we are inflicted with, the envy is the most powerful and most subtle, and which causes other things to arise actually. If envy was not there, we would not be in the first place here. And if envy is not there now, suppose after getting here, it would be much easier for us to deal with other things. But this envy, actually, sometimes we cultivate the envy actually, we don't even understand, you know, while behaving in selfish way, we cultivate this envy. But in association of sincere devotees, by the mercy of the Lord, we are reminded that, "My dear sir, this is there in you. Please," when the doctor tells you, "You have this disease," and you say, "No, I don't believe this, I don't smoke, I don't drink, no, even then, you have the disease. "Oh, have I got lung cancer? I don't smoke." "No, still it is there." "Oh, have I got liver disease? Oh, I don't drink, but it is there." So first of all, humbly we have to accept the diagnosis. And then be willing to follow the regimen of the doctor. That you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you don't do this. For such a long period of time, keep doing this. Then one day you will get free. So, when there is humility, it becomes easier to believe that yes, there is envy. But if there is difficulty in believing out of lack of humility that we have envy, then what happens is this, what Prabhupada is in detail explaining in this purport in long beautiful way, that so many isms come, so many confusions come. And I have seen these people, we don't get a gate entry into them, how to talk to them also, they are so much confused. If I write one answer to the one statement that my friend makes on WhatsApp, then there are 50 things he writes. How is this? How is that? How is this? How is that? So there is no question of wasting our time with these people. And Srila Prabhupada explains that such people keep taking birth again and again in the material world, keep getting lost in the traps of sense gratification, and they sink into the lower and lower and lower species in this material world. That is the way they are kept away from the devotees of the Lord. And what is the end result of this envy? Finally, they will keep speculating, and when they will die, in next lifetime, they will take birth into further lower species, engage in lower abominable activities of enjoyment, then get again birth and go to the lower species, and lower species, and lower species, and keep rotting in the material world. Today we can see that such people who are envious of the Lord are simply engaged in most heinous and most abominable activities. Their concepts of normal happiness also has become distorted. I don't want to explain this all in Bhagavatam class, but the level people have gone down in their pursuit of happiness, independent of the Lord, is that they don't even remain human beings. And we can't even compare them with animals, because the animals do not break the laws of nature. They simply are in sense gratification. But these envious people are, you can't even compare them with animals. They are so degraded. No animal, breaks the laws of God, laws of nature. But these sinful people who are envious of the Lord, they go on inventing newer and newer and newer abominable ways of enjoyment, and keep trapping everybody around them into those kinds of enjoyment. So we have to thank Krishna and thanks Srila Prabhupada. While I was studying the purports, previous and next, I was only feeling more and more grateful to Srila Prabhupada. Because in the kingdom of impersonalism, that is India, sorry to say, in the kingdom currently of impersonalism, Srila Prabhupada stood up and said, no, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all people. He is a person, you are a person, and we have relationship. We do not cease to exist. Even when we get liberated, we exist, he exists, and the loving relationship between us and he also exists. And there is something called as eternal loving relationships and activities that we have with him. You have to actually somehow be with this impersonalist to understand how difficult it is. Somehow in my service, in very early days, I lived in Rishikesh for a year. It's all 8 directions, 10 directions, 55 directions surrounded by Mayavadis. Then Srila Prabhupada also went there for some time. Everybody is just talking about Soham. I am he, he is me. So difficult. They're constantly doing some yoga, some processes, some mystical activities. The basis says that he doesn't exist, I exist. And I am he, if at all he exists. So difficult. And then we understand that if for them it is so difficult to understand the Supreme Lord, for us it is so easy actually. Saraswati, the daughter of Shamsundar Prabhu and Malati Mataji, was 1 year old. And at Cross Maidan, the big festival Srila Prabhupada had, he was standing and saying, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very sweetly she was saying to everybody who was coming. And then Prabhupada would call her and Prabhupada would say, Saraswati, who is Krishna? She said, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. To all the adult audience, she would tell. Prabhupada had made it so easy, even 1 year old child can heartfelt way understand that he is a person, he is Sri Krishna, he is all beautiful, he is all attractive, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all these great Shastric readers, who are philosophers of various isms, studied all the scriptures, cannot understand that. Because scriptures are designed in such a way that only if you are pure hearted, they will reveal themselves to you what exactly is the reality. But this book, this 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, is not just a literature. This is a person. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is coming to you in the form of scripture. Srimad Bhagavad Gita is a person, Sri Krishna himself. But he has choice to reveal to you. If you are not in the right mood and understanding, if you are envious, then the same book will bewilder us. Don't think that these great isms, these great people who are Mayavadis and so many people, they have not read scriptures. They have read scriptures maybe much more than all of us. The ashram where I was living in Rishikesh, the next to that the ashram is there. The sadhakas were supposed to study for 18 hours a day. And sometimes as a doctor, some of the sadhakas would come to me as medical patients. They would tell me, Prabhuji, please pray for me so I can study better. 18 hours a day is just one room, one table, and books, many, many books, and keep studying and studying and studying and studying. But all these great studies of 18 hours a day for many, 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 many years till they become old doesn't give them that one understanding, the basic understanding, the Supreme Lord is a person, because they are not approaching the scripture with that humility in a non-envious manner. So even if they study hundreds and thousands of scriptures given by the Lord himself, they will not reveal the truth to them. Like the holy places in Vrindavan, there are also persons. They are Sri Krishna, Sri Balaram himself. If we perform sinful activities in this place, that place will conceal its glory. That place, even if you live in that place, the glory of that place will be concealed from us. It will become an ordinary place for us. And if we live in a holy place, for example, we are in Ramandreti here. Sri Krishna Balaram used to perform fun and frolic over here. If we perform sinful activities here, this very Ramandreti holy place will conceal its glory. And we will feel it's a very ordinary place. There is a dirt here, there is pigs here, there are monkeys here. There is not good management here, not good governance here. So many things we will feel. But if we perform our sadhana very sincerely in this place, then this place, being a person, will reveal its all glory in the heart of all of us. So wherever in Braj, the people are performing sincere sadhana, that place becomes manifest. Like a lotus closed, lotus opens. And the full glory of the lotus will be appreciated by you, will be understood by you. It won't be any difficulty. So what stops us from coming to the realization of the truth is the envy, which leads to sinful desires, which leads to sinful activities, which leads to entanglement into sinful reaction, which leads to degradation, loss of good intelligence, and further down, as Sri Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. So what is needed is to take association of saintly personalities like Prabhupada through the books that he has given. Because I think, not because I am in ISKCON and all of us are in ISKCON, but gradually I am coming to the firm conclusion that this is the only line that one can follow if they want to really come to the understanding of the truth. There are other bona fide sampradayas, but the guidance is not available the way Srila Prabhupada has given. A strictness of the discipline is not available the way Srila Prabhupada has implemented. As soon as the acharya goes away, everything gets dismantled, the confusion comes and envy comes amongst each other and competition comes and the whole mood of the acharya gets destroyed. Even if the lineage is perfect, but people are not perfect and it gets destroyed and diluted. But here is Srila Prabhupada, I am from Udupi actually. So there is a famous Udupi Matha, Madhvacharya. And there are 8 mathas of Madhvacharya. And yesterday, 2 days back, there was a change of service of Krishna Math, Lord Krishna, Udupi Krishna, and another Swamiji took over. Many of our Swamis were there because they were invited there. So there are 8 mathas and 8 acharyas, 8 disciples of Madhvacharya who are the gurus of the lineages, and they are getting 2 years services at a time. So one of the acharyas one time said very openly ki we are very strict. 1 meter radius around us is created by brahmacharis. And no, what to speak of woman, not even man, no karmi, no ordinary person can enter in that circle. And we are protected like that constantly. We don't even expose ourselves to anything. We are always encircled by a cordon of devotees, and in that nobody comes. So that we are protected. We are not attacked by Maya. We don't fall prey to Maya. And that's how they live all the time. How your Srila Prabhupada went abroad alone with no cordon? How he mixed amongst men and women equally? How he practiced? How he taught them? And how he maintained his purity in spite of all these associations, so-called people who are in fully sense gratification? So he glorified Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is an extraordinary person. First of all, he went across the ocean, 10,000 miles, 7 oceans he crossed, mixed amongst people who were most degraded, most sinful. Not only did not get contaminated by their association, but uplifted them to higher levels, converted them into Brahminical situation, who are doing deity worship. We go abroad, we see Negroes and people who are various kinds of people are doing Brahminical services after following all the rules and regulations. They are not awarded Brahmin Diksha just like that. They have to undergo all rules and regulation. He has to be a great empowered saint. Then only openly admitted, I cannot do that. We cannot do that. Neither we are supposed to do that. Because Srila Prabhupada was free from envy completely, he was in love of the Lord, because of that he was a humble soul, and he just went praying and praying and praying constantly to be empowered by the Lord to save those fallen conditioned souls. He never went to participate into their activities. He made them participate into his activities. He inspired them by his love. Because of the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as person in the heart, and because of the love that he had for that person whom he has realized, he could pull everybody on that platform. And what is further greatness? That he left this world by the will of the Lord in 1977, and today we are in 2016. Is that 40 years now? 39 years. His movement has grown 6 times than when he left. He was having 108 temples. Now we have 603 temples. It was announced in this year. This year is the 50th year of his sacrifice of his own life. He did for everybody else. He left Vrindavan, then India, to go to Western countries. And he was bold enough. There were also threats for his life because he was preaching something which people didn't like actually. There were people, Mayavadis in the Western world also, who were preaching their doctrines of confusion. And he was boldly preaching. When Mahesh Yogi had sent a message, please leave Rishikesh, you are not well, my dear Prabhupada, you are sick and old, don't speak too much and don't stress yourself so much. Because all Mahesh Yogi's followers were coming to Prabhupada and getting inspired by the simple philosophy that he was preaching. After following everything there across Ganga in Rishikesh. So he was getting disturbed. So he sent a message, Maharaji, please take rest. So like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was a threat to all the Mayavadis. They would run away. Srila Prabhupada similarly a threat to all the Mayavadis. They were thinking our asan is getting destroyed by this personality. But nonetheless, all those people who are free from envy, see, there are people who are sinful, there is no doubt about that. It is better to be, I'm sorry to say, it is better to be sinful than to be a Mayavadi. Because if when you deny the personality of Godhead, it is a bigger sin, bigger offense, because that converts from sin to offense. And when you become offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by denying His personality, it's a much deeper a sin than just being engaged in sex. Those people who are eating meat and having sex and doing intoxication, at times if they are simple hearted, innocently engaged by tradition of family, they can be easily uplifted. Very easily can be uplifted. We have seen when we preach. But those who are envious at the heart, by denying the personality, you cannot preach them. They will never change and they will keep on their activities of sinful activities. So Srila Prabhupada was attracting those simple souls. Although they were appearing to be drowned in sinful activities, they immediately got attracted because they didn't have that contamination and rusting of the envy of the Lord. And when some people were sincere to understand that this exists, they also got converted. Srila Prabhupada's movement is the savior movement of the whole world in coming ages, because it is extremely clear, like beacon of sunlight, like the sunlight. There is no confusion in this. Some people may not be so intelligent to understand everything what's given in scriptures, because it is not easy to understand. But they are free from envy basically, and they accept the basic principle, the Lord is a person, and we chant His holy name and we serve Him. Bas, that is, nothing else is required if we are not very intellectuals. But we have seen that even people who were working in the construction sites, underground, digging the earth and taking the earth out for construction sites, even they have become preachers today. They have become brahmacharis and they are running centers today. I know people, I don't want to name them. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada's philosophy is so enriching. Once you have keep the basic faith and have this basic humility and study this, it can transform a most degraded Shudra into highest Vipra and Brahmana. That is the potency over here. Please understand that we are into this movement for so many years. Sometimes we may take this movement for granted and we'll start looking after faults of the management and this and that and how the thing is not doing properly and what will happen in future. We may get lost in that. But we should not forget that the basic wealth that Sri Prabhupada has given us, nobody has given this. Nobody had given this in such a way, the way he has given. Because the proof is that even after he left, people are don't have his personal association. Still through his books and through his devotees, so many people are becoming devotees today also. The movement is just like atom bomb, you know, breaking the truth everywhere. And we have to see the glory, we have to travel and see how the movement is expanding like anything. It's because of non-envious approach and purity of the heart. With these two things, the movement will carry on. That's why Prabhupada could boldly say, this will suffice for 10,000 years. If we live further for a few years, we'll come to know. Everything will come to perish. And Srila Prabhupada's movement will be going ahead, shining, saving the fallen souls of the world. So we have to be very grateful, Srila Prabhupada. This is the year where we should all open Prabhupada Lilamruta again and study how he went through, how he preached, what kind of difficulties he went through to save all of us. I mean, we have not seen Prabhupada, but we don't feel that we have not seen Prabhupada. We feel that we are very much with him. If this purports were not there, what this sloka will mean to us? I don't understand. So many times when I read the sloka which is given to me to speak on, I'm just blank. When I read Prabhupada's purport, everything becomes so crystal clear. We can speak a few things on that because he has given direction. He has given backgrounds. It's like a mother when a son wants jackfruit, ripened jackfruit. Mother will put oil on her hand repeatedly, cut it, make pieces, again put oil, then take out all unwanted things, take out the real fruit, then take out the seed, open it, put little honey, put in the plate and give it to you. So all the trouble of putting oil and getting the oil hand sticky and blackish is all finished. We get ready-made things without any effort. Srila Prabhupada has done those things. We never will get time to study Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's literature. But we will get all those things if you read Prabhupada's books. So my only realization and humble prayer to all of you is we need to stick to the doctrine of Srila Prabhupada, which he has given fully, faithfully. We may not have to go in diverse directions to study what is there available in the world. And people may tell you that what Srila Prabhupada has given. The rasa is not available, but everything is available. Please understand. Brijvasis may tell you that Srila Prabhupada didn't give rasa to you. He only gave philosophy. It's not true. All rasa is available also. You read scriptures given by Prabhupada. Everything is available. Let us first get free from our sinful desires, then we'll go to rasa. So, in conclusion, I would like to say that Srila Prabhupada has saved us from all these isms and confusions that would have been in our life and given us a path which is crystal clear as the sun, and the end we can see Supreme Personality of Godhead whom we have to reach. The path is created up for us, path is created for us, Laksha is created very clearly for us. Association needed to reach is created for us. Everything is there. Just we have to be sincere and follow what Prabhupada is saying. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or any questions? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I forgot. I remember that, but I forgot now. Thank you.